in Jesus Christ. I thank you for getting Renee home safely. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing. And then pray to fill Randy with your Holy Spirit to minister to us and teach us from your words this morning. Thank you for each soul that's here and for the teachers in the back, that you'd help them minister your words to the kids. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me? Since I got the mic in the right place. Okay, here's a choice. You wanna do Sunday school in Revelation or Ruth? That's a shock. That's a shocker. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Yeah, if we finish the book today, well then we'll do something else next time. Okay? We're going to look at just a couple of verses here. You know, keep your Bible open because I'm one of those guys that makes you turn to different places. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 4. The Bible says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of kings and of the earth, and unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How many of y'all been washed in the blood? Okay, well, that's good. Then according to this passage, we've got some kings and priests in here. How many of y'all are a king? You can raise your hand. Yeah. No, it's nothing you've done. It's what he's done. You're a king. It also says you're a priest. And let's get a second witness. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. John goes on and says this thing once more in verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10. And has made us unto our God, look at this, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You know, when I first time I looked at this and I thought, wow, being a king, that's pretty good. And you've heard about the ruling and the reigning. You go to Luke and you read the parable about the pound, and that depending on what you do with your pound, you know, Brian may get to rule over Skidmore or something, or Edroy, or Papalotti or something, you know. It depends on, you know, what you do. We are going to rule and reign. We like this king stuff. How many of y'all like being a king? I really like right now being a king, the child of a king. I like that. I don't like it when I go to Timothy and he tells me that I got to suffer to reign with him. I'm not sure about that part, but I like that part about being a king, but that's not what we're doing the lesson on. We're doing the lesson today on the priesthood of the saints, the priesthood of the believer, because it's one of the Baptist distinctives. How about that? You know, you got a sign out here that says what? Bible Baptist Church. So we identify ourselves as Baptist, and so along with Baptist come some distinctives that if you're calling yourself a Baptist, then you believe in certain things. How many of y'all believe in eternal security? You're one of those old big finger Baptists, once saved, always saved kind of guy, right? Yeah. See, so there's distinctives. Well, I was doing a lesson once on that and I thought, well, I'll look, you know, see what some people smarter than me have to say about it. There's lots of them. And I found in there one of them when it got to P in the Baptist. That's why I asked you about acronym. Oh, Renee's got a shirt over there that's got an acronym on it. And so you go to the Baptist distinctives. You know, I'll just give you real quick. This is still not the lesson. We may or not get to the lesson. Baptist B, biblical authority. Everyone in here no one in here has a problem that this book, God's Word, is the final authority in our life. That's one of the things that Baptists believe. A in Baptist, autonomy of the local church. That means that this church is only accountable to God. We don't have a parish or a hierarchy or any of that other stuff we got to check with. We're under God's authority. P is the priesthood of the believer. We're going to get to that. T, two ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper. I, individual soul liberty. That's just being secure. That's eternal security. S, separation of church and state. God made both of those authorities. The two church offices. In the Bible, there's a pastor and there's deacons. Okay. And then S at the end for Baptist, saved church membership only. So to be a member of the church, you need to be saved. Does that make sense? So we believe on all of them, but what about this priesthood of the believer? Right now, I've got a room full of priests. Boy, don't tell any other Baptist churches, huh? Yeah, no, we got a room full of priests here. And so it's amazing when you start looking at the Bible, you've got a whole Old Testament that's full of Levitical priesthood. They do this, they do this, they do this, they do this, exactly like God wants it done. And God has called out a certain amount of people, the Levites, to be priests. And so when you start looking at that, and Paul mentions quite a bit about it, and that's where I started looking, well, if we're priests, then there should be some things that we should be doing. A priest in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you the end of the lesson before, because we may not ever get there, okay? The end of the lesson is that the priesthood of the believer, there's at least in my lesson, there's four things that a priest nowadays ought to be doing. Number one, a priest nowadays, just like in the Old Testament, the only people that had access to God were the priests. Your average Benjamite or some way, if they wanted to get a hold of God, where did they go? They had to go to the tabernacle or whatever, and they had to present an offering or a sacrifice or a request or something to the priest, and that was the mediator between them and God. Okay? And even Aaron, being the high priest, he only went into the tabernacle once a year and made atonement for his sins and for the sins of the congregation. So there were some priests had access to God. Well, how about that? Now that we're now born again Bible believers, God has made us priests. Guess what? Each one of us has access to God. Let's look at a scripture or two here. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For every high priest taken from among men," look at this, "is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." You see, the Old Testament priest was ordained for men. The Old Testament priest was this mediator between you and God. And if you needed to get a hold of God, you had to get a hold of a priest. Okay? I kind of like our way better. Okay? Our way better, let's just jump to the chase. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. No, not Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 4. "Because of the New Testament, we have a new high priest." Verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Verse 16, look at this. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I like that. I like that. I, just a saved sinner, have access to the throne of God with boldness. With boldness, I can come before the throne of God. You know why? Not because I'm a king. I get to come boldly before the throne of God because I'm a priest. And I know the high priest. I couldn't get in on my own, but I've got the high priest, Jesus Christ, that takes me into that room, that gives me that access. Isn't that cool? All right, so being a priest, number one, you have access to God. And this is quite, you know, it's a great thing to do that, close your Bible and go, this is great. But there's some responsibility with this. The priest, we're not going to go to all the scriptures, but the priest in the Old Testament, this wasn't a come as you are job. Okay? Those Levitical priests, they had to clean up, they had to get sanctified, they had special clothing. They had to get right before they went to that temple or went to that tabernacle. God didn't put up with any of this stuff. We serve the same God today. Okay? So we're priests, so one of our responsibilities, I just told you the benefits. Boy, you get to access the throne of God with boldness, but you better not come in there dirty. Turn to where we want to go. No, we won't go there yet. Okay? But we need to be sanctified. We need to be separated. Come out from beyond them. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Be ye separate. Be ye separate. So there should be some separation from the world. These are things that Brian preaches all the time. These are things that, you know, what can I do to be a good Christian today? Well, start by doing the stuff that God expects you to do. He expects you to clean up. He expects you to do right. And one of those privileges is that you get to access the throne of God. That's pretty cool. But the second one is, you not only get to access the throne of God, priests in the Old Testament were the only ones that ministered to God. You are a minister. And so, let's turn to something and get the idea of this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll just go to the punchline. These scriptures are not scriptures, especially this one is not one that you've never seen before. The ministry of a priest in the Old Testament, he ministered to the Lord. He ministered to the congregation. He observed all the things that the Lord wanted him to do. And so there's some things that Paul mentions right here in Corinthians that we ought to be doing. Look in we'll start in verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us, look at this, the ministry of reconciliation. So one of the first ministries that we should be aware of, Paul put it here real clear, is we have an opportunity to be part of the ministry of reconciliation. Paul goes on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he, that's God, has made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? That right there is the reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is simply God reconciling a lost sinner with a pure and holy God. Getting those back reconciled together. And the amazing part of it is, if I want to reconcile with my wife over something that she may have done wrong, we need to come together and we need to talk about it, and there may be some compromise in it, but we can reconcile if we'll just sit down and talk about it. Makes sense. This reconciliation, God already set the whole thing up for you, and you just need to do what he said. Okay? In no way is he compromising. He came, he manifested himself in the flesh, and he showed up on our behalf and paid a sin debt that you couldn't pay and offered you things that you don't deserve. That's called grace. Isn't that sweet? So there's a ministry there that God wants to keep going, and guess who he's chosen to do that ministry? Yeah, pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Pastor Brian is the only one that's supposed to be doing the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? You're right. You know, Pastor is the shepherd of this flock. And right, shepherds reproduce sheep. No. I hate to tell you, but sheep reproduce sheep. Sheep reproduce sheep. Now, I'm going to stop right here because I can already look. You're going right where I used to go. Okay? There's two things that I can't stand. One is a skinny preacher getting up and preaching to me on gluttony. Okay? And telling me I'm fat. And he has never experienced any of that in his life. Okay? I can't stand that. And the other one is, there's a saying that in lieu of conviction, intimidation works every time. Oh yeah. I've seen none of that in this church. What a sweet savor. But I've been in churches where in lieu of conviction, and by the way, that conviction comes from where? The Holy Spirit. He's the one, according to John chapter 16, that reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay, it doesn't say anywhere in there that I'm supposed to reprove anybody of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But I'm supposed to have a part in the ministry of reconciliation. And so right now, I don't want anybody thinking that I'm going to hammer you until you go out and win somebody to the Lord this afternoon. That's not that. And I'll say this too, and I'm not proud of it. I've heard it in churches, and I've preached it. But God has allowed me to live long enough, and He's beat enough sense into my old head that I don't go there anymore. The work of salvation. Well, let's look. It's in the passage. It's in the passage. Look in verse 20. We'll go backwards. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Look at this. Then he defines what an ambassador is. Though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. An ambassador. An ambassador is a person that has been chosen to represent a country or anything, but it's a representative. Okay? If I was chosen to be an ambassador to China. Okay? Wow. And they sent me to China, then my job would be to go around, grab people by the neck, tell them how sorry China is, and that they need to be an American like me. Does that make sense at all? But many times that's what we try to do with the ministry of reconciliation. God never said in here we need to go out and tell everybody that they're wrong and that they need to be like me. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be a representative of Jesus Christ. Okay? First thing out of the box on that is your testimony. Now, I've heard it preached that ain't nobody ever got saved because of your testimony. I don't know about that's true or not, but I can tell you what, there's many people listening today because of your testimony. The Bible in the New Testament, every other page is talking about hypocrites. Okay? So your testimony is important. And being ambassador for Christ, being a priest, your testimony is very, very, very important. And so if that's your testimony is something Brian can't fix, I can't fix. That's something you got to work on yourself. You've got to have a testimony that when somebody looks at you, you're representing Jesus Christ, they think of Jesus Christ. Or they think there's something different here. Okay? So, first of all, you're an ambassador. Look in verse 18. It says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. I have had the privilege, true privilege, in the short time that I've actually worked for the Lord and wanted to do the things that please me. I have had the opportunity to talk to literally, maybe more, hundreds of people with an open Bible and tell them the gospel, tell them the truth. Okay? I have never, never died for any of them. I never bled for any of them. I never prayed for any of them or saved any of them. But God saved a whole bunch of them. God paid a price for it. And what this says, it's that first verse says, and all things are of God. The ministry of reconciliation is God's work. It's His ministry. Too many times, I've done it, too many times I run out with a handful of chick tracks, beat on a door, people either slam the door in my face, or they yell from the other side of the door, we've had that, and I get discouraged, and I don't want to do it again, and I have to convince myself, yeah, God wants me to be in this, so I go out and I try it again. And God has showed me, I wish He'd showed me before, but now once you experience something, you pay full price for it, you learn a few things. This is God's work. I put expectations on it, or you let other people put expectations on it, and then guess what? You get disappointed. You get discouraged. You grab your tracks, you run out to tell somebody about the Lord, and the Holy Spirit stayed in the car. Yeah, it happens. I've done it. It's far better to want to be a priest and have a ministry and do the ministry of reconciliation than what you need to do is, number one, you need to get cleaned up so you'll be a good ambassador. Number two, you need to realize this is God's work. And I did the same thing. I wanted to go out, grab somebody by the throat, nail them with a Romans road, get them on their knees and praying, put a stripe on my shirt and another fish on my stringer. That is way too much man. Way too much man. The Holy Spirit has no part in that. The Holy Spirit is the one that does all that stuff, and this is how He does it. It's in the passage. Let's look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has, look at this, this is what He's committed to us, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Well, that, you know, when Paul talks about the simplicity of Christ, it's way simpler than we think it is. It's way simpler than we make it to be. I have found out in my life that when God puts it on my heart to talk to somebody about the Lord, He may just need them to get one word, one scripture. He may need them just to see that I love God and what God's done for me. That's all He may need to say. We may not have to finish that deal. I've never met too many people the first time they ever heard about Jesus Christ, they got truly saved. I imagine it's happened. But I know in my life, and I know in your life, how many of y'all got saved the first time you heard the gospel, first time you heard about Jesus Christ? No. The Spirit of God had to work on you. He had to reprove you of your sin, your righteousness, and judgment. That work is God's work, and He does that work. And He died for that work. And He wants us to be priests and be ministers and be part of that work. Is that cool or what? So the next time you want to be part of this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, get with God. He'll show you exactly what He wants you to do. He may want Brian to do something that is way more than somebody else. He may want Brian to do way less than somebody else. The key is you do what the Lord wants. And your hope is in the Lord. And you know what? You always come home with a smile on your face. And it's because you've done what the Lord wanted. I know how hard it is to pass out a track. I've been the guy that had to go hide them. Go hide them somewhere and then. And I've done all that. And I mean, God and Jack Chick, they're only two that know how many tracks I've passed out, but it's thousands and thousands. And that's bragging on God. But I'm telling you, many of them I passed out, and it was all man. You know, talking about, I've heard people say that they can't do this work because I don't know any scriptures. Well, God's given you a book, and I used to say the same thing. How many times did I tell you, I just can't memorize scriptures? Well, in the last year, I started, you know, it's never too late. I got me a list, and I've started memorizing scriptures. And that word of reconciliation, I don't know if it's ever happened to you. I know it's happened to me. I can guarantee it's happened to Brian. You can be talking to someone about the Lord, and the Spirit of God is there, and you will quote scripture that you have never memorized. And you will shock yourself. Okay? The only way you could possibly do that is two things have to happen. Number one, you have to have the Spirit of God there doing this work. And it's Him. Number two is, I ain't going to go there. There's so many rabbit trails to run off this. The second thing is, you need to be reading this Bible. Because it says in Acts that God will bring the scriptures or bring the word to remembrance. Okay? You can't remember anything that you didn't input. Okay? And so that's how you realize, I just quoted a scripture and I didn't know. Because you remember it. Okay, it's the neatest thing, but the key to the whole thing is get the man out of this. God is allowing you to be part of a ministry, a great one, the ministry of reconciliation, and all you have to do is get with God. Just get with God. You know, the big thing He may want you to do, clean up that part of your testimony. You get with God, He's not bashful. Oh, He'll tell you that. He'll tell you that clearly. And the more you do, the more He'll open doors to you. That's one ministry. I got a lot of it. Number two, you're in 1 Corinthians? No, you're in 2 Corinthians? Good. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Yeah, we got a room full of priests, and now they are aware of the ministry of reconciliation. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and look at this, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. You have another ministry that God is offering up to His priest, and it's the ministry of consolation. The ministry of consolation. Talks in here about the things that God has put you through. One of the reasons that you have gone through those things is to learn to not shake your fist at God, but to learn that you don't ask why, you ask, Lord, what? What am I supposed to be learning right now? What do you want to show me about this? And when you can get to the point where you go through your tribulation and your trouble, which that's part of Christianity, once you go through that with the Lord, He's always there with you anyway, but you're knowledgeable of the fact that God is leading you through this. He brought you into it, and He's going to walk you out the other end, and He's going to hold on to you every moment. Once you go through that, you know what? You've just qualified for the ministry of consolation. Because now you've been through something that when someone else is hurting, you don't have to run up and give them one of those, oh, I know how you feel. Sometimes there's some people run up and say, I know how you feel, and they ain't got a clue how you feel. But God puts us through things so that when those times come, we're able to console someone. And not so that we get any credit. Once again, everything about this book, from page one to the last page, God has tried to show you one thing, that every time man gets involved in anything, he messes it up. Okay? He had a paradise going there, and he put a man in it, and guess what? Here we are. Okay? The same thing with this consolation. What you need to do is, and you need to get there, and this is a personal walk with God on this consolation ministry, is a place where you actually are willing and want to help other people through their trouble by showing them what God did to you in your time of need. You see, God gets the glory. And when God gets the glory, guess what? He is going to show you times to do that. I'm going to give you an example because it's the most recent one. Maureen and I both are widowers. Okay, we both did over 20 years with our first spouses, lost them to cancer, and God miraculously brought this wonderful woman into my dirty life, and we're working on our next 20 right now. But through that, and you could go into all kinds of details how hard that is and da-da-da-da-da. Now when someone loses a spouse, I know how they feel. And Romans 8:28 is what? No, it starts out, and we know. And we know. I quoted that, all things work together for good. Well, yeah. But when you get to the part where you can go, and we know, that's a blessing. And we know. And we walk a dog every morning, and we're walking down the street, and a man that, we got a big long street, I don't know how many, 50 plus houses on our block. Don't know everybody on the block hardly at all. This man, we knew that he recently lost his wife. And we knew that through some other neighbors and stuff. And he came out, and Maureen approached him and said, "Oh, we know you just lost your wife recently." "Oh, yeah." And told him, "We're in the club. We both know it." And I tried to assure him that, it's going to be better. It gets better. Just a little bit at a time, but it gets better. We were able to do some things with that man because of what God has done through us. And that is, I know the man really appreciated it. But it's such a blessing for us to be part of the ministry of consolation. And so that's another ministry that God is offering. So we got some priests here. I want you to be thinking about what part you're going to get in some of these ministries, because there's going to be homework. I didn't want to tell you that at the beginning, because then everybody would have headed for more. Okay? No, ministry of reconciliation. That's you being some part of that ministry. And let me just, I'm going to step back on that, because you think, okay, now I got to get some traction and go out. No. Alan does that. Alan gets the tracks and he goes to the prisons and he does a radio show, and I ain't no telling what else he does. And he's doing it because he loves the Lord and he wants to see those people saved and praise the Lord. You could pray for him. You could pray for him. And you know what? You're part of that ministry. This man sitting at the table, he does this every day. You want to be part of the ministry? You can pray for him. You can pray for him. Number three, ministries. Go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son," this is Paul talking to Timothy, "therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus, is Christ Jesus, and in things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," look at this, "the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now here, Paul is trying to get a young preacher, a young man that's under his wing of the ministry, to teach this to you. men that will also be faithful enough to teach it to others. You know what that is? That's making sure this gets passed down. Making sure this gets passed on. You know, we're sitting here today because 12 apostles decided to follow Jesus. And he said, throw those nets, come on, follow me. We're sitting here today because of that. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have a blog. They didn't have any of that stuff. You know what they did? Mouth to mouth. They told other people about Jesus Christ. And they told them about the amazing things that God has done in their life. They pass it on. Right now, we've got some teachers, I believe, in some rooms back there that are trying to pass this on. This ministry, by the way, is the discipleship ministry, the ministry of discipleship. Now, when we think of that, that means, okay, now I got to get Pastor Brian to come set something up at my house and we'll do discipleship once a week. Well, that's great too. That's good. But this ministry starts with you and your children. This ministry starts you and your spouse. This, you and your family, you and your neighbors, you and your folks at work. This is passing on the truth. I can guarantee you that the world is not in the mood to pass any of this on right now. Okay? They're in the mood to pass on the whole thing. As like it's never happened. If this is going to go on, I don't know, you know, would I love the Lord to come back right now? Yes. 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 Yes, yes, yes. But Paul probably expected him in his day. And he hadn't showed up yet. So I know one thing, God does what he wants when he wants and the way he wants. And so while he's doing whatever he wants to do, my job is to make sure that somebody else starts learning these things and has the opportunity to learn them and believe them. And this is once again, it's way simpler than we put on it. You don't need to start a class. You don't need to, no. Little Hannah that just scoots around here and just smiles and just has a good time. That little girl ought to have the privilege of growing up with a group of people, a group of priests, that she learns one thing from, that everybody in this room loves God. And God is real. Imagine that, if Hannah can live her life with parents that live and believe that God is real, and that they bring her to a church where everyone in this church makes a point to show that little baby that they love God and God is real. Then there's a chance when she's big enough to go off to college, some satanistic teacher won't take that away from her. Because it won't be, yeah, I went to church with my parents every Sunday. No, God will be real to her. That's where we lose them, because people go through life checking the boxes and what looks good, and yeah, let's get the family, we'll go to church, we'll check that box. Those Bibles get thrown in the back seat until next Sunday when we go to church and we'll check the box. And believe me, those kids, they grow up and they know. They know, oh, that's not real, that's just something we do. You know, we also go to HEB and buy groceries on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, it's about on the same level. But it's our job, discipleship, to teach these young ones and show them that God is real. That we're not just playing a game here. This isn't a social club like you were talking about the Corinthians. This is real. Let me show you one more thing, and we'll, you know, I did this much in my lesson, but that's okay. go to Psalm 1. I'll show you just one example. One example here. I don't know, I was probably in my early 50s, when my pastor came to me and he said, you know, I think you need to teach a college and career class at the church. And I looked at him, I said, you know, I think you need to go back and pray about it. And he said, no, I want you to. And I'm thinking, me, college and career, they won't listen to their parents. What are they going to listen to me about? Then, you know how God is. In my Bible reading that day, Psalm 72, just skip down to verse, no, Psalm 71, skip down to verse 18. Now also, when I am 55 and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I, look at this, have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that has come. Y'all have the same calling. Well, if that wasn't enough, I love these, you know, second, 78, turn 78. I could have read past that real quickly and like I normally do and just kind of ignore it. Then you read on to Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. How much Bible do you need to know to do that? You just got to know God's real and who He is. And you can show these young kids, and you can show your spouse, and you can show the people at work, and you can show anybody that comes that you love God, and you're doing that ministry. You're doing that ministry. So, I'm out of time. That's, you're a priest, and there's three ministries. Okay, I've also got some sacrifices y'all are supposed to offer, but we'll get to that another day. Okay, it's been a privilege to be able to open God's book and tell you what God's put on my heart. And like I was talking to Brian before, no man gets up here in this pulpit, starts teaching or preaching, and has notes where God hadn't ripped him apart on these things first. Okay? We come up here pre-ripped before we get up here. Father, I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to be able to teach this lesson. I pray, Lord, that I pray somehow the Holy Spirit will take some of the things that are said here today, and that each one of us will just pick something, just something, some little thing, and you'd show us that little thing and how we can easily get that done and then add to it. And Lord, I'd love to end the day knowing that we all pleased you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I got some.